Welcome to Money Matters with certified financial planner Dave Petzo. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Petzo.
Well, on a roll, or look like a roll, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Our friend Dave Petzo with us, the Petzo Center, Petzo Financial. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the whole economic impact coming in for the Idaho Famous Potato Bowl.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, every year they put this on. ESPN bought the bowl. This year the Idaho Vandals will be here. You've got roughly... You know, I believe the Vandals have told us the last time we were at their school, 15,000 alumni. I think that's probably a little bigger. But, you know, coming in, you know, that live here in the Treasure Valley, obviously if you're a Vandal fan, you've been diehard over the past few years because there hasn't been a lot to cheer about. Now 8-4, they come here. They'll take on Colorado State, which is a regional rivalry. Economically, to have a team that's going to draw, what does that mean for the area?
Well, it is always helpful because every time you get a sizable group of people coming in, you're talking hotel rooms and restaurants, and people who are on vacation tend to spend more money anyway. So the answer is the retailers, if you will, meaning really restaurants and hospitality industry, is going to be very much benefited, and so will the tax revenue from the room tax and things like that. So it does have a nice impact in the valley, and particularly for those restaurants and hotels.
Well, and I think that you have to kind of, you know, when we're talking about hospitality, which is something you know something about, you go to the hospitality places, right?
I do. I spend some time in hotels, yes.
Right. And how it's changed. It used to be you just get a room and, you know, maybe a free breakfast, but it's... People are going from just giving you a service to providing an experience.
They do. Absolutely, they do. Yeah, you know, from at some of the nicer hotels, a turndown service, things like that, you're right. They're all competing in that space, and I think they do a marvelous job, generally speaking. The day of just getting, you know, you were just thrilled to have a bed and a TV that maybe worked is way past. Now there's such competition, they've really dialed it in, that different places, it's a very nice experience, really, at almost everywhere you go.
So it'll be interesting to see how the Vandals play this up, considering for many years they were the only game in town when Boise State was, you know, moving up the ladder. Now Boise State is such a national brand and certainly ubiquitous here in the Treasure Valley. It'll be interesting to see how, I think it was, 2010, 2011, the last time the Vandals were here, mm-hmm. if there was some type of gathering of alumni and really trying to move the program along. And, you know, it's not a sports story. It's really a sports business story, if you will.
It is. Yeah. It really is. I agree with you, Kevin. I mean, this is a bowl that really, if you think about it, it's amazing that it's still here. It still continues to do okay here. It's not going to thrive being a minor bowl in an outside venue in the middle, you know, of the coldest part of the year.
Right.
But it's just not going to be. You're not going to get people coming to travel real far for it. But it does well enough to keep being here, to being part of the overall bowl system, and in fact it is a huge economic impact. I'm just glad the Vandals are here. That means you're just going to, you obviously, what are you going to get, 10 times the number of people you would normally get at a game?
Well, so, last year the and it holds about 35,000. Last year I said I think the attendance was either 18 or 15, and it wasn't filled the last time the Vandals were here, but again it has an opportunity, as you said, to get that closer to that maximum capacity, which would be great. I mean, no one wants to watch an empty stadium.
No.
Which you see a lot of.
You do see a lot of in the minor bowl games. You're absolutely right. And even though they say it's 15 or 18,000, I think most of those people stay in those warm tents down below, even if they did buy tickets.
So, the hospitality tents?
The hospitality tents that they have, yeah. And so, anyway, it gets pretty cold out there, but I think the Vandal fans will show up. And it should be a good game, I would think. I think it would be a good game to watch.
Well, Colorado State, their coach Mike Bobo from Georgia, offensive coordinator there, very well regarded. So we'll see what happens Now, do you care if I continue on talking a little sports and business?
Well, I've got to be careful on the sports side, but please do. On the sports business mix, absolutely.
Yeah, I was reading this another article that ESPN, a big churner for revenue for Disney.
Oh, huge.
So I'm bringing you back into your
absolutely.
Comfort zone.
No,
I'm no Doug Petcash. By the way, you look very cozy in the big studio there with Doug. Usually they have you in the... in the closet over there.
They throw me away in a closet, exactly.
Right. You're in the newsroom, but you were in the studio.
We're part of Seven Cares. They had to bring us out of the closet.
You looked very, very natural. Have you ever thought about a career in television news, Brian?
No. Thank you, though.
I would like that, the evening news with Dave Pezzo.
You know, I still was feeling good enough for you. I still wore my tie specifically, just so you could see that.
Exactly, and we will talk about Seven Cares, Idaho Shares coming up, but... ESPN lost another 555,000 subscribers apparently last month.
Yep.
The worst month in the company's history. You take a look at this, and ESPN used to print money, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like when you buy a home at the top and then the market falls.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN bought all these rights fees for the NBA, the NFL, and all these things.
Yep.
And we see... sports even taking a hit. So what do you make of it?
We are. It peaked, and they paid peak prices, and they felt like they had to tie it down. I think it's a big deal. Kevin, I'll give you an example. The Petso household does not have ESPN because they have a different package.
And How do you live without that?
I happen to live across the street from Hillcrest, so... if I have something, a game I have to see, that's fairly easy to go do.
They say, well, here comes Petso.
And since I don't watch a whole lot of TV, I know the secret's out, I just don't. And so I kind of got the minimalist package. But this is what a lot of people are doing. They're doing that because ESPN is extremely expensive to the cable companies. And so
now, hold on, wait a minute. Dave Petso, international businessman, financier to millions.
I know.
You don't have the luxury premium.
I have probably lost my man card over the whole ESPN thing.
Folks, this is a true fiscal conservative right here at 580 KIDO. I practice what he preaches. Yes.
I honestly, that's part of it. But, Kevin, I just don't. I used to be a sport nut, and I found it sucked me away from my family, and I got out of that habit a long time ago. And I just haven't found the desire
the hook,
to come.
Right?
I haven't been hooked back. And if I did, ESPN would be at the top of the list, like you, regardless of the cost. That's what you do. That's your entertainment. But for me, I think there was one game this year I walked across the street. That's how little I actually watch it. So yeah.
So this is a major problem. ESPN has now lost a dropping 1.176 million subscribers in the past 2 months. So if you're Disney and you're looking at this, because they acquired, I mean, the Disney acquisition of Marvel worked out really well for them.
Absolutely.
And Lucasfilms for that
absolutely.
Matter.
Huge.
ESPN, on the other hand, they're laying people off. They're doing this, that, and the other. So, you know, how do you change that?
No, you can't. The trajectory is going to be continuing to diminish. But what ESPN is trying to do now is make sure that they're more mobile, right? So you are willing to subscribe and get it on your telephone, your iPad, things like that, where you can log in and get on at the office. All those things where you're not just streaming in. But the big thing is that the cable companies, people are dropping it because, again, like me, a lot of people are saying, hey, if it's not part of the package you're on, who cares? It's not a big deal.
Right. Dave Petso with us here on Sports Business Journal at 580 KIDO. Now, one more thing. I read just a fascinating piece in this trade publication. And it was talking about the lower-tiered conferences. Now, don't worry. I'm going to bring you in here.
Okay.
Where you have Conference USA and you have Conference USA in the Sun Belt. Now, these are lower-tiered conferences below the Mountain West and everything else. But like everybody else, they go up to the big-time football. They don't make a lot of revenue. So they're the patsies that play, you know. Actually, the Sun Belt just kicked Idaho out of it because geographically – it didn't make sense. You have teams in the Carolinas, mm-hmm. Appalachian State, and others flying all the way to Moscow and coming back. So they're not generating revenue anymore. Their TV compensation used to be at Conference USA $1 million per team has been cut. You're going to love this. 80% to 200,000 per team.
Wow.
The Sun Belt gets 140,000 per team for media rights. So the media well has dried up.
Yep.
So now they have to go back to, you know, building people at the gate. But if you're Appalachian State in North Carolina, you're not going to, you know, send people to Moscow, Idaho, and vice versa. So they're talking about breaking these big conferences up and going back to a more regional thing because economics is dictating this.
Economics, and also I think it's really – it's one of those things. How do you create a real big rivalry with a team that is located across the United States?
Right.
It's a regional thing, and they do, and they will. Cross-state rivals, all those things. I think that's a great idea. And you're right, sports and everything else, it all boils down to, we've got to be able to pay for these things, and it is business.
Yeah.
Well, what about the love of sport? We all love college football because it is love of sport. Those
right.
kids are playing for no money. It's a big deal when they do, and we love that more than, say, professional in most cases. But you have a circumstance here where you've got to address the problem of these colleges spending too much money to fly kids clear across the United States and have no fans show up. And let's face it, it was a nice way it ran where people, ESPN and everybody else, would pay extra money just to have these teams on. But the reality is nobody's watching. Nobody cares what Appalachian State is doing. Realistically, they just don't.
Well, and Dave Petzl with us, Petzl Center, Petzl Financial. And then you talk about the cost of the non-revenue sports, like the Olympic sports. It's killing these universities. It really is.
It is. Well, without college football, and you know, obviously bringing in revenue, these would be huge money drains for sure. You know, it's not that there's anything wrong with volleyball, but it just doesn't pack the stadiums.
No, it doesn't. So let me hit you with this. What do you make of Dave Petzo's favorite time in life?
My favorite time in life?
Stocks ready to open at record highs. You know,
you mean tea time, my favorite time of life, tea time.
Yes, I mean, the Trump rally continues. What's going on here?
Kevin, it's a general sense of optimism out there. There really is a new sense of, hey, something's going to happen. It is going to happen out there. We don't know what it's going to happen. We got a guy that tweets at 2 a.m., okay? So it's not all good.
You are obsessed with him tweeting at 2 a.m.
It's a little unusual for the president to be doing this. I'm just acknowledging the fact that there are some concerns from folks out there. At the same time, we are seeing some very good appointments that have been put in. People from the business world.
Have you been approached yet?
I have not, and
would
I can't speak.
Right. You wouldn't tell us if you were. Okay.
Yeah, Secretary of State. But, you know, you look at the folks that are being put into place. I think so far people are pretty happy. And the tone coming out, no trade war, that's just the constant. And finding people in there that have experience dealing with the Chinese. I think there's a lot more comfort out there in the business community that this guy is going to not come and tear down the basic relationships we have overseas, but maybe to change them. But what he is going to do is he's going to tear down D.C., and he's already ruined the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, and now let's see if he can't just tear down those ridiculous bureaucratic institutions that are so ingrained in D.C., and they frankly ruin business and ruin your personal freedom.
Before we go here to break at 580 KID, oil going up to $55 a barrel for the first time in quite a long time. What do you make of that?
It's a hugely positive thing. Now, do you want me to go into that now, or do you want to go out into that after this?
We'll do. That's why he's the wily veteran. We'll do that in a minute. You're listening to 580 KID.
All right, DiamondsFineJewelry.com.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzl on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO.
580 KITO, Kevin Miller with Dave Petzl. Talking about the cost of oil or oil barrels going up to $55 per barrel. Is this a good thing, Dave Petzl?
It is. Okay, so a lot of people think initially this is a bad thing because, you know, gas prices are going higher. And, yes, they are going to go up a little bit. But remember, we're talking about OPEC. A, they don't get along anyway and never have. And so any kind of an agreement they have, I think, is going to be short-lived. it's very important to them to get prices up a little bit higher. But I'll tell you who it's really important for are the small, medium-sized producers here in the United States. Getting in, keeping oil prices at $50 to $60, very comfortable price-wise for us at the pump, but also profitable for the U.S. drillers. So what we have is a, is an energy-independent country, the United States of America, now free to go ahead and drill. See, in spite of the anti-drilling campaign of the last 8 years, the because of technology, fracking, and still private pipelines, they've been able to work around that. But the building of pipelines into some of these areas like North Dakota, South Dakota, it's going to be huge, Kevin. And right now, regardless, they're running all this oil by truck, which is incredibly dangerous, as we know, incredibly environmentally dangerous as well. So it's a silly thing, but we're going to get pipelines out of there. Pipeline jobs are good jobs. They're big jobs. There's many people that are going to be hired and drillers in our country instead of in these foreign nations that really just want to strap bombs to babies and blow people up.
Well, that'll wake you up this morning.
Well, and unfortunately, that's the world we're in.
I go back to this, and you know, I know that you have so many things going on, but there's something about the Dakotas, and you and I have talked about this mm-hmm. for years. Probably now is not the best time to go visit the Dakotas.
No.
But I think to myself, and maybe because, you know, I've watched so many specials, and I've heard Liberal Steve talking about this, that the boom was there. You had so many people from across the country, young and old, going there, and all they're doing is working, but making a lot of money, hard work, that really doesn't exist anymore. And then I'm thinking to myself, you know, will that come back? I've still wanted you to invest in the Kevin Miller Recycled Man Camp Trailers Association, you know, because they just left everything there.
They did, didn't they?
And I'm sure, isn't it strange or ironic that it could be all cyclical again? Maybe not at that level initially, but I mean, they were building schools and this infrastructure, and then boom, gone.
They were, Kevin. And if you get a pipeline up that way, then it really changes things very dramatically, because you can think of it more as a permanent situation. Where you're trucking, that's easy to say, let's just shut down the wells, and so you're going to have more of the transient feel. When you get a pipeline there, meaning less expensively, far less expensively, we can get the oil to market, gives these companies a cushion, and you might see some more permanent building. But you're right, Kay, I just don't see it at all remotely getting like it was before, even if they get the pipelines up in that area. So you are going to see, I think, a more permanent, sustainable, but at a lower level, infrastructure play in those areas. Just, you're not going to see the man camps like you did.
Now, before we get to a happy story, we need to get to a tough story. This seems to happen at this time of year, Dave, and if you can explain this to us, that'd be great. The laying off of 90 workers at bodybuilding.com happened, I think, Thursday night, Friday. Yeah. We talked a little bit about this, and as we've discussed, and you've enlightened us over the years, that when people buy companies, this usually happens. You know, the first question is, do you have to do this around the holidays? But everybody seems to do it around the holidays.
You know, probably. Maybe I'm giving them too much credit, but probably these things are, the layoffs are going to happen after the holidays, but they've been announced. And people will have checks through the end of the year and maybe some severance. I would hope so, but Kevin, they don't have to be done around the holidays. It's always it's a touchy time, and companies should not do that. Whether it's really a big deal, to do it in January, which is again my assumption here, or do it in April. It's better if you wait a little bit longer. It just looks better. But it's a tough situation. They do come in, they do cut, they do make, you know, some efforts to figure out how we can make this big investment that we just made, how we can make that pay off. So that's inevitable, and it is always sad.
What do you say to those workers? And apparently quite a few got severance packages, like a month severance.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just, hey, you're out the door. What do you say to them? Do they, you know, how do you put yourself back together?
Kevin, I think it's really tough, and I think that's why it's something that we hit on all the time, and you and I talk about this. It's not whatever it is you do, We're all just a heartbeat away from whether our health changes, somebody who's important to us health changes, whether our job is cut.
Yes, always, I know that all the time, Dave Petzo.
I know. You do.
Yeah.
You're in an industry that says you darn well better have some money in the savings account. You
right.
better not be in debt up to your eyeballs. You better quit living like there is always going to be a paycheck.
You better quit having that big exclusive TV package, buddy.
Yeah, cut that ESPN out of your life now.
Exactly.
But people have got to get their finances right. And this is just, again, you're sitting there at your job. You're saying, whew, I'm glad I'm not over at bodybuilding. Well, think about it. Think about what you're doing, because it's way bigger than that.
Right.
Than you just hanging on to a job. It's way bigger than you having the security, if you did lose your job, that you've got 6 months or a year right. or two put away. It's also your freedom to someday say, you know, Kevin, I'm going to start my own radio station. And you are free to do that, taking less salary, taking risk, and doing your thing, the thing that blows your hair back, the thing that moves you inside, the thing that really gives you passion about it. It is. I speak as a person who does what they love to do.
Yes.
And so it makes it easy for me to look in and say that. But the reality is what a difference it is in a person's life when they love what they do. And so you go to work is not really work. It's something you're passionate about and you enjoy doing, and you can touch people's lives.
Let's move from that to Idaho Share 7 Cares this Saturday. Dave Petzo, the Petzo Center, you'll be there. I'll be there. Looking forward to seeing you there. You're welcome to stay with me the entire time if you'd like.
Really?
I usually am there from, you know, 6 in the morning till I get today. This year it'll be till 1. Usually it's till noon, so... you know, we'll even provide a chair for you.
You'll provide a chair.
Well, I'll have to talk to promotion.
We're going
to
need one of those heaters, I think.
See if that's in the budget, but yes.
Yeah. Let's get a trailer, a heater, a massage chair.
That's
I'm
only
there.
For Walmart, yes. But this is something that is very close to your heart and so
it
close
is.
To so many people here in the Treasure Valley.
Kevin, I remember getting a call from Doug Armstrong. I was traveling at the time, and about this program he was going to start up, and wondered if we would be interested. And the answer was, of course, we would be interested in being one of the 7 Cares companies. And ever since then, we've brought up the ante, so to speak, as Channel 7 has too, and more companies have gotten on board. I am tickled to say that they'll easily go over $1 million, and it's a big deal to some of my favorite charities out there, like the Rescue Mission, as you know, Kevin, and it's huge for the City Lights. Those are organizations that change people's lives, and you know that just as well as I do because you have poured your heart into that. But this is a huge community effort. Channel 7, God bless them, have really gotten behind this and pushed it. And it is, again, we're over $1 million at a time of need for the greatest providers of that need. Kevin, you know, I think the thing is that I think about this all the time. They talk about what these people do in these organizations, the people that are there day to day.
Right.
You know, Reverend Roscoe, for example, and all those guys, Jason, and everybody that works there. They give up their lives to take care
of
people.
They do.
I can make more money. You can't make more life. And so we are doing the tiny little part.
I agree. We'll see you Saturday.
I'll look forward to it, Kevin.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. Dave Petzo, Petzo Center, Petzo Financial on Facebook and Twitter. Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
This is Money Matters. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
Hello and welcome, and thank you again for joining us. Wow, on this 7 Cares Day, I hope you all are going to brave going out. It's not brave. It's just wet. It's just wet. But get out there and enjoy. Drop off some food. Drop off some checks. And I'm 100% sure this is going to be the biggest 7 Cares Saturday ever. But be part of it. It's such a feeling of participation. It's such a wonderful thing that Channel 7 does in gathering the community around such a really noble, noble charities. They are just fantastic, fantastic. And they count on it. They really do. So thank you for all of you who are participating. We'll be over there shortly after the program, dropping off our check and our checks. We had our party last night and had several $1,000 additional on top of our gift. gift this year. So it was a record for us as well. So hopefully it'll be for Channel 7. But anyway, great holiday season, a great thing to do. So, but you didn't tune in for that. You tuned in for record highs in the market, right? Again, record highs. This isn't supposed to happen, right? This wasn't supposed to happen. I mean, if Donald Trump was elected, it was the market was going down. Now, why do I say that? And everybody said that, and big deal, and so what? We got it, okay? It wasn't supposed to happen, and happened. What was supposed to happen after Brexit? Market's supposed to go down. Not bounce to all-time highs. Remember the big, what was it, Wednesday, I think? Might have been the week before. I think it was the week before. 10 days ago. Italy. This was big. This was big. They were kind of doing a Brexit thing that wasn't a Brexit thing. But, you know, you got, hey, give an inch, we'll take a mile to the negative Nellies out there, right? To the doomsday crowd, give an inch, we take a mile. We think this little crack over here is the end of the world, part 1,233. Amazing. It's amazing how much pressure, how much ink these people get. And it's important for us to reflect, not the fact that they're, you know, neener, 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 you're wrong. No, of course they're wrong. This isn't a victory lap because they're wrong. They're always wrong. Always. 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 Because the world keeps going. We have bumps. We have corrections. Somebody asked me, because I get asked this all the time, you know, is this a bubble? Is this a bubble? Is this a bubble? I mean, when's the bubble going to burst? Say, there is no bubble. But we will have corrections. I don't know if the next one's going to be 5%, 12%, or 22%. Maybe worse. That's what markets do. And you can't predict it. But it doesn't stop people, particularly the doom and gloomers, from predicting the imminent demise of the market due to some currency thing. Some belief that the dollar is being destroyed because we're going to change over to a Chinese currency because the globe's going to go to a Chinese currency. Yeah, I think so. I think the Chinese and the Russians, that was the talk a couple years ago. We're going to get together with a new world currency. And the euro, that was going to take over about 5 years ago. Maybe we will have a global currency. We probably should for trade. Right now, it's pretty much the U.S. dollar. And pretty much everybody's comfortable with that. But it doesn't stop the doomsday crowd. Ever. 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 And we just continue to double down on wrong. That's what we do. The only reason why we were wrong is because, you know, George Soros and his buddies got together and they saved the market. We're not really wrong. No, 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 no. It was conspiracy theory against us being right. And on they go. And people continue to ask the weirdest questions, right? And have you heard anything about, you know, what's going on with the currency thing? Did you hear about House Bill 2443 where we end? That's unbelievable. Blood moons and Shemitahs are to the extreme. We don't need to talk about, but to think how much ink this gets is mind-numbing. And it continues. But here's the reason why it's so incredibly important. It's so important. We need to learn from this, don't we? For our whole life, the market goes up 10%. My parents' lives. Grandparents. Great-grandparents, it's 10. Goes up, and up, and up, and up, and up. And in between the up, and up, and up, it has multiple corrections. Multiple corrections. Sometimes severe, sometimes not so severe. But now in a world of particularly fast-paced, let's watch every second, every move of everything. Under a magnifying glass. We are fascinated by every 2% move. And, of course, that must help us a ton in our own evaluation and confidence and peace about our investing. Or no. Right? Isn't it a weird kind of a thing? That the more you know, the dumber you are? Yeah. In investing, it's usually true. It's difficult for people to take in all of this stuff, all this noise, and not overreact. It's what we human beings do really well, is overreact to every single data point. Easiest, hardest thing in the world. I wonder if I should invest in something that goes up over time more than anything else by a lot. I'm not required to do anything. In fact, they just send me checks each quarter. All I have to do is hold on to it. And occasionally, they'll tell me it's worth more or less than I actually paid for it. Probably more or less than what it's really worth, fundamentally. That's it. That's your requirement. You now know. You now know the super secret. The greatest returns available to the average person in the whole wide world are buying shares in the great corporations of the world called stocks. One, two. What you have to do is you have to hang on to them while everybody else is running around with their hair on fire. That's your requirement to be an expert investor. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Jason, I want to give you ample opportunity, so we're going to take a quick break and grab you on the backside of this break. If you prefer email, it's dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO, that's our number. Please do give us a call. What a lazy day today. Wow, it just feels... We were just talking here just a minute ago about how it was hard to get out of bed today. I went to bed early. I mean, it's like, boom, I'm out. I was just talking about how out I was last night. I was really tired, and then didn't want to move this morning. And I thought, well, this is a pretty normal thing with winter, isn't it? Just kind of get locked into that. You know what? We're going to take a break here. I'm going to go take a nap. 580-KIDO. Jason, thank you for holding on. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dave. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Good. Thank you, sir.
Good. Good. So I just have a really quick question for you. If I have some money that's set aside, it has to go into retirement from my employer, but I haven't invested in anything yet, and if I'm one of those people that thinks the market's just a little bit on the high side right now and it's probably going to go through a little correction, I don't know, maybe in the next 6 months, who knows. If I would like to just kind of hold off and invest in any companies so I see how it corrects, or buying stock or mutual funds so I see how it corrects, is there something I can invest in that has a good liquidity so I can, I don't know, like a money market, or what's the best thing to do in my situation? Or should I just not wait? Should I just say, oh, the market's high, but just choose a good mutual fund and go with that?
Boom.
And not wait for it to correct?
You nailed it. That's exactly what you should do. But let's go back to your first question, because and then I'll walk all the way through that. This brings up a whole series of things that are really, really great. This is not a simple question, Jason. It's a very complex one. And what you do with this is going to govern your investment success the rest of your life. And I'm not kidding. It's that serious. Okay? So let's start with your first question. What am I going to do? What could I do in the meantime? There's bound to be, within this 401k or retirement account, whatever it is, simple, whatever, there's going to be a money market account, a short-term bond fund, maybe even a GIC, which is a guaranteed interest contract, okay? There's going to be something in there that doesn't move at all that you can just park it in, okay? So you can park it till you want to move it. So that's going to be available, no problem. I would be careful with any long-term bonds, because when you move it, if interest rates are higher, you're going to end up losing money, okay? So, and that's kind of a different bond discussion. We can go into that at another time. But what you really nailed on here is the same type of thing. Is the market high? Yes. It's always moving to all-time highs. It always does. And then we have these normal corrections. I don't want you to go to the dark side. And what I mean by that is start thinking you can time the market, okay? And it's a great analogy when you think about it, because it's so hard once you get there to come back. And here's why. Let's say, for example, and I'll give you an analogy, then we'll bring it back to the market, okay? Tom Brown works in our office, and he loves to tell this story on himself. He's 21 years old, goes down to Jackpot, okay? He's in college over at ISU. So it's not that far, and then he calls his parents up because guess what? He's had a great time, and guess what he did his first time in the casino? He won. He won.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? I mean, everybody's happy. Yeah. And he can't figure out why his parents go, oh, really? Well, about 2 months later is how long it took him to not only lose that little stake, that probably happened the very next time, but then he lost literally all of his savings and all of his money within the next 2 to 3 months. He was out.
Wow.
So he had to spend the summer working, just try to get replenished for how he was going to possibly get this done. Okay, what happened was he won. Now, let's take that to investing. Let's say you're right. Here's the problem. You have to be right twice. Market goes down. Is it going to go down 5%, 7%, 10%? Here's what I promise. When the market goes down 5%, which is, happens about 3 times a year, it's a very frequent occurrence. Well, congratulations. You guessed something that basically happens almost quarterly. Okay? It's not a big deal, but it looks like a big deal. And so people wait. And so you get this 5% correction. Looks like it's going to get worse. Jason, when do you come back in? Well, I just hang in there. Let's suppose you're right. It keeps going down. And now it's down 10%. What are you going to do? Come in at that point in time? There's no way. It looks like it's crazy. You got Cramer and everybody else running around going, this is insane. This thing's going to go down. This is terrible. The news is terrible. And then they just kind of chant and talk about what's wrong in the world. All they're doing is rehearsing what's already transpired, right? It's Brexit. It's this. We already know that. But you never get a chance to really come back. And so there is never a bell that's rung at the bottom. So the best thing you do in your retirement accounts always is just invest. Because what you're doing is you start to play in this game where even if you're right, how do you get back in, number one? Number two, you start thinking you're pretty good at this, you know, that the craps game is like, you know, designed for you. You kind of feel the dice, man. I mean, you see, it's just this thing that people have, and we are better than we think we're better than we actually are. And I'll give you one more example of, because people actually think I know what's going on in the markets and things like that, right? Okay. So I'm not exactly been doing this for a long time, 35 years in the profession, 10 more years before that as an investor. But so I've done this for a while. And the thing is that I don't know what's going to happen. But here's a kind of a funny story on myself about a year and a half ago. I was it was just the market was fussy. It was terrible. It was like it was really down. We were in one of those corrective modes, right? We were down 5 or 8% somewhere in that range. It's looking terrible. It's looking worse.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I get up, and I'm just looking at him. Well, get up, and I got a minute. And I walk over to Jennifer Stone. She runs everything for us. And she's just, you know, and I go, God, this thing's just, it feels like it's going to tank. And I go back. I don't do anything. You know, I'm not going to go out and do anything. And then finally, it's Friday night. I'm, like, sitting in my lazy boy, and I'm sitting there, and I go, wow. This was Wednesday, by the way. And I remembered I said that. Do you know what that was? That was 600 points. The market turned that day and went up 300 points the next 2 days. 600 points up. So genius me, I would have totally forgot. I can't believe. I don't know what happened. Some kind of like, you know, spiritual inspiration. God said, wake up, son. I mean, you got to know how wrong you are on this. And it was like, wow, it was a great awakening. But what it really awoken me to is how many times we have these thoughts that pass through our head. I didn't do anything because guess what? I'm a professional. I don't go out there and operate on, you know, a little thought. I didn't do it, but I wouldn't know. I don't know how I remembered how wrong I was, right? We don't remember that as human beings. I easily could have just fallen asleep and that's it, and then I just go about my life. But how many times, if we actually were honest and said, I knew the market would go down after Brexit. I knew this thing was going to happen, that thing, that thing, that thing, every year. And we actually wrote it down, and how many times we were wrong. We would never think we could be right.
So we are always self-defeating in our greatness for making calls like what the market's going to do. Jason, invest. The two things you have to do, you have to live within your means and invest. That's all you have to do. If you do that, and then one final thing, you don't quit. Don't quit. You keep invested. Don't quit. Don't listen to the noise. Keep going. Those are the two things to amazing success.
Cool. All right.
All right.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the help.
Thank you, Jason. You have a great day.
You bet.
Bye.
You too. Take care, Dave. Bye-bye.
I know. I've got to get more excited about things, don't I? I'm Dave Pezzo, and these are my opinions and my opinions only. They are not here to get you to buy anything or sell anything. And again, they're my opinions. And just like everybody else, most of the time about the future, much of the time, we're wrong. And of course, this is the time of year where everybody makes a prediction about what 2017 is going to look like. And it'll basically be like this.
Well, you know, we think the S&P will be, you know, at 2023, based on the calculation of all of the earnings for the S&P 500 companies.
Everybody's going to be the same. They're all the same. They're all in this nice, narrow range. And here's what's weird about it, okay? Weird about the market. It's not normal. Okay, go ahead. Grab a pen. Write this down. Market not normal. So when you hear people talk about a normal market, like we think the market will do, you know, 9% this year, 10%, wrong. You go back to the piece of paper and go, that would be normal, therefore wrong. See, the market, if we give it a big swath, 8 to 12%, right? Because 10 is like, that's the gravitational pull to the equator, is 10. That's what the market averages over your entire life is 10. And so if we say, how many years are between 8 and 12, we'd go, that's got to be a lot of them, like the majority of them. Remember what I just said, right? That's wrong. Market's not normal. 6% of the time. Six. Since 1926. 6 one-year periods. Six of them were between 8 and 12%. 6% of the time. Okay, so way over 90%. 19 out of 20 times. The market is not in that range that all of the Wall Street people will predict. It always does really, really, really good. Not always. Most of the time it does really, really, really good. Actually, that's what it usually does. And then sometimes it does really bad. It doesn't do normal. And so when you hear all these predictions, like, oh, yeah, they think this, they think that. They don't know anything. It's just what we do. I predict a great year ahead. I have been predicting a great year ahead. Why? Because nobody is. Nobody is. There's mountains of cash in the sideline, and I want to talk about this. I want to in our education segment today. I want to talk about this, not my prediction, but why I feel this way. Because my prediction is just like yours. It's worthless. I don't know if it's going to be true, and I don't care. The general trajectory is we're going to 30,000 someday. You know, I love this whole big thing. Whoa, this guy predicted the Dow was going to go to 20,000 in mid 2012, as it turns out. I'll look and see, because for some reason they're parading the guy around like some kind of soothsayer. Wow, it's going to 20,000 in mid 2012. Okay, really quickly, at that time it was at 13,000. So, is this a big prediction to go in the next 8 years to go up 54%? All right, I ran it through the financial calculator. You ready for this? This rate of return, this astounding prediction of overwhelming prosperity, clearly an outlier of a prediction, is that the market might do 5.9% per year. 5.9. See, when we get these big numbers, people are like, well, do you think we'll get to 20? Yeah, we could do that on Monday. It's like 1.3% away or something, right? I mean, we're right next to 20,000, let alone next year. So when these people make predictions, it's simple. You know, you say, oh, 20,000, we're going to go to 30,000, Dave? Yeah, probably in my lifetime, maybe 40 in my lifetime. God willing, 50,000. And I don't think I'm going to be 120 when that happens. It just keeps going higher. We make so much fuss about year to year, month to month, little corrections. Should I wait? Do this and do that. It's like, you know, are we in a bubble? No. Are we going to have a correction? Uh-huh. Absolutely. Well, when? I mean, should I wait? No, you don't know how long. All I know is we are driving down the street, and around the next corner is a correction, maybe even a bear market. I don't know how long the block is, though, before that happens. And we don't know how short or how shallow the correction will be. So we get out. How do we get back in? That's the dark side we talked about earlier. I believe his name was Jason. It was Jason. 2017 predictions. Why do I think, why have I felt that? Two things. Trump was elected. That changed me from optimistic to wildly optimistic. Not because it's all going to work. It's not going to work overnight. Wildly optimistic, why? Because it's different. We have been in such a malaise for well over 10 years. We don't do anything. I mean, as a country, why would you start a business? For the last 8 years, you've been told you didn't create this as a business person. And here's what you need to do. You see this stack of paper? I need more of that. We need more paper for you to fill out for our bureaucrats. That, it was so anti-business. Why would anybody start up? So they didn't. Small business has not been employing the way they have our entire lives. It's weird, but they're not. They're not being the job creators they were. So I believe we've got this pent-up, if you will, entrepreneurialism that will just explode. Not tomorrow, but over the next year and two and three and four, as people get, as regulations get diminished, as people believe that they're not going to be punished by job creation, that yes, they'll pay higher taxes, but they're not going to be the bad guys, and they don't have to pay over 50%. It changes the dynamic and the desire for people to go out and take risk. Nobody takes risk without a payoff. I was just talking yesterday to a client. I don't know. They wanted to take $100,000. They're literally 60 years old. They don't have that much money. And they failed at two other businesses that they bought into. This is high risk. And they want to do it. God bless them. Man, that is... Boy, do they have brass ones. You know what I mean? I mean, they are awesome. That's what I think is going to be just ripped open and people are going to go do. That, to me, is exciting. The second part that's so exciting is literally just what I said. Tax rates going down. This is great for corporate America. And imagine that. All of a sudden, the profits are up and we can repatriate and bring all that cash back into this country. What are they going to do with it? Some of it is going to find its way into stock buybacks and dividends. How does that help the economy? It helps you and I as stockholders. Helps the market. And we spend money. Consumer confidence since the election is now at an all-time high. Let me repeat that. Consumer confidence since the election is at an all-time high. That's crazy. Everybody feels differently about this. It's like this thing happened, and even the people who are on the left, I'm not talking about the ones that are curled up in a fetal position like some moron, okay? I don't know what I'm going to do. Really? You live in the greatest country in the world. What you ought to do is get up and slap yourself. And if you can't bring yourself to do that, call a friend.
and have them come slap you because you're being idiotic. And they are. But there's a tiny, these are just the people that make the news. This is a tiny fraction. Everybody else is moving on. And they are. The consumer confidence numbers, all the numbers are showing that people are moving on. They didn't have to vote for Trump, but they're going, I want this guy to succeed. And it feels different out there. And it is. And this is all energizing. Why would we not think we're going to go forward with a better economy just simply because the wild forces are unleashed? This is awesome. Now, why does this translate into the stock market? It doesn't have to. It is right now because it's future. It's selling off, if you will. We're rising before the economy does. Okay? Because the market's a forward-thinking mechanism. It thinks this is where we're going. Right or wrong. It's not always right. This is not going to go perfect. We're still going to have terrorist incidents. We're still going to have problems like that. And the thing that's going to bother the market the most, you have no idea what it is. I don't know either. But it's not what you think. You see, you can dial in, but that's not what the market thinks because it always prices those things in. Now, we're saying we're already getting ahead of ourselves. Sure we are. But if we start seeing things happen, then imagining that corporate profits are rising very dramatically, they've been asleep for a while, on top of a 3 or 4% GDP growth, wow. And we start unleashing the animal spirits of of our entrepreneurialism. You know, the Wall Street Journal had a great article this past week, right, talking about the fact that we are not creating and innovating new stuff. We haven't for a long time. That's one of our biggest problems. I mean, we talk about technology, and you're right. I mean, things like the iPhone and things like that, they're only 9 years old. But in the last decade or so, we haven't had any big breakthrough things. We will with artificial intelligence, things like that, but no big breakthrough things. But with people unleashed and capital unleashed, we will. So you can see this thing maybe continuing and growing, steamrolling. That's why. And then when we think about that, there are 12-point-something trillion dollars sitting in cash earning zero. That's not all going to the market. We have a mountain of money sitting in bonds that is just getting their statements from November and going, wow, how did I lose so much money on my bonds? Money's not going into bonds. So we've got trillions of dollars. I mean trillions of dollars that was going to want to flow somewhere. My guess, stocks, especially as we start to see corporate profits improve. That's what's called money flows. And if you keep your eye on where money is, money always wants to go. Think of it like a giant bathtub, okay? Money's sloshing around. In this corner over here, we've got cash. This corner over here, we've got bonds, some real estate, and stocks. And it's sloshing around, foreign, domestic, small companies. It always is trying to find where it's going to be treated the best. And for years, people have been scared. I don't understand. This has been the most disrespected, greatest bull market in all of history. And the most important thing, well, should I do this? Should I do that? How can we invest in this and this? That's a diversified portfolio. There's always pieces that don't work. The biggest, best decision people have made for the last many years, their whole life, if you will, stay invested. Just reach over. Turn down. You know, oh, here's the doomsday report. Oh, I don't watch that. I don't click on that. Here's what billionaires are saying about the coming crash. Here's how Warren Buffett prepares for the coming dollar collapse. And once you click, they go, aha, we got one. And they start reeling it in. And you get more and more because, you see, the computer's smart. It knows that you are now
a conspiracy theorist kind of person. I know. I hear you now. I already hear you denying that that's true.
My computer knows that I'm a guy. My computer knows that I like golf. My computer knows that I like finance. How do I know this? Oh, and as a side story, it knows that I've bought underwear. I bought underwear on Amazon, I think 3 years ago. 3 years ago. I still get underwear ads. True story. 3 years ago. I think it was 3 years ago. Still get underwear ads. Now, is that bizarre? What I'm saying is the computer knows you. It reads you. And now it knows you live on the dark side. We got you. We're going to keep feeding that to you. That's why you don't click. Don't go to those sponsored ads, no matter how enticing they are. Don't. They're not going to help you figure things out. Money flows are what drives markets initially. The underlying real driver to that, though, is profits. If, in fact, companies are making more and more and more money, money flows. It will. It's delayed or it's ahead of the game. It's both. It depends on what people's animal spirits are, if you will. But people have sat this market out, doubted it, still looking for a correction with trillions of dollars. I'm not here to tell you how wrong you are. You can figure that out. You already know how wrong you've been or how right you've been by sitting on your hands and hanging in there. But for those that have overthought this the whole way, at some point in time, you can't blame George Soros for propping the market up or something, or the Fed. Low interest rates. Goldman Sachs. Whatever it is you think is, whatever it is, this somehow artificially propped this up so that really the last 300% in the market, you didn't miss because, you know, you missed it. You missed it because it was manipulated. All I'm saying is at some point in time, you have to roll over and say, put your hand up and say I'm wrong. I was wrong about this. Because it doesn't matter whether you think it's a Fed or I think it is or isn't. It doesn't matter. Market's up 300% from the bottom. And you missed it. And you're still standing on the sidelines screaming and yelling about what's wrong. Why it can't be. How smart you are. How it's a, whatever, it's a fiat currency or it's only from the Fed. Interest rates since the election have gone up a massive amount, like 60%. 1.5%, 1.7% to 2.5%. This is a massive move. If it's all about interest rates, it's all about the Fed, it's all about this, it's all about that, why is the market up? What's the phony reason this time? We seem sometimes we just have to simplify this and bring it right down, right? It's what goes up 10% a year? Only one thing, only one asset class. And what's the price you pay for that? You don't have to manage it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You don't have to manage it. You don't do anything. You have to put up with price changes. Price, not value changes. It's not like Procter & Gamble stops paying a dividend or cuts its dividend if its price per share goes down. That's the price you pay. That's all? Yeah. But for human beings, that's hard. At some point, we have to recognize that the money flows are money is sitting there earning negative real returns. Trillions, tens of trillions of dollars. It's going somewhere. Not all of it.
But some of it is. And on top of that, trillions in wealth are created every year. New wealth. So, yeah. Markets don't do normal. I think this is going to be a heck of a year. Heck of a year. Our number is 580-KIDO, 580-5436, dave@petzofinancial.net. Jim, we're going to catch you on the other side of the break. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls.
Idaho Youth Rent Thrift Stores. Nearly new and totally new.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. What a lazy day out there, but I am excited, fired up. I guess I got some pretty good sleep in this winter doldrums. I'm pretty fired up here. But anyway, so I'll try to take a deep breath, and we'll take some calls here. It's 580-KIDO. Please do line them up and give us a call. Let's go to Jim. Jim, thanks for calling.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning.
How's it going?
It's going good. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Good.
I was just going to say happy market rise.
I know. Well, hey, why not? Happy Trump rally, whatever we want to say. It's definitely done well.
Football season's over. Now the most fun sport, watching the market rise and whatever. But I've wanted to make this cute little comment ever since you mentioned about the underwear, ordering the underwear online.
Yes, yes.
And your computer knows, right?
Yep.
And these ads pop up. If I were you, at least once, I would order a bra and pair of panties.
Absolutely. No, Jim, I talked about that before. I've been begging Jennifer to come in, Jennifer Stone, and to just please, you know, next time she's, like, going to get something for her girls or something,
do it on
my computer, please. Because I would definitely prefer to have the, I think I'm getting this right, Victoria's Secret is, like, pink also, I think. Victoria's Secret and pink ads on my computer than to have men's underwear ads running.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, there's nothing for me sexier than watching these. Well, you open a what you get in the mail or a Sears catalog, women underwear. I mean, that is sexy. That's sexier than Playboy.
All right, Jim, you're going to have to change to a financial question.
Let's see. Financial.
Uh-huh.
Well, happily, all my stuff I bought prior to the election, and the last purchase I made was the Friday before the election.
Nice.
And the thing is, you know, I was buying what I was going to buy, and whether it was going up or down didn't come into the equation, you know. I was just going to buy what I wanted to buy, and that was that. So.
That's right. Well, that's it. You know what? That's back to the very first call we had earlier with Jason. When do you buy? When you have money.
But, you know, the thing with what Jason said, you know, maybe you can't do this on mutual funds, but if you have a, and you were talking about, for instance, you know, waiting till the market goes down a little bit, it goes 5, and it might go 10, et cetera, et cetera. And I've said this before, but if you're really interested in buying a particular stock, put a buy order on at a certain point and then not worry about it.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Oh, no, there's no question you can do that. Now, always be careful with that because sometimes there really is breaking news on a company that can really cause it as it should. One of the things I would say, for example, is don't do that with biotech, technology companies. Make sure they're big blue-chip companies that just don't have a tendency to blow up.
Well,
it's something still could happen. You wouldn't want to buy Johnson & Johnson right after Tylenol broke. Just because it fell a couple of points, because it was going to go down a lot and did, because that was big news.
But the thing, okay, but I do like company, you know, and I'm not a hipster of the new economy, you know. I mean, I kind of prefer a company that's been around 100 years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and so you buy something that's got a good track record, and chances are they're not going out of business anytime.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying it's not a bad thing, but be careful with doing it, and it still isn't fail-safe because you do even have big companies that have bad problems.
Right.
Dow Chemical, when the plant in India blew up. You know, these are major bad events, and they can happen to any company, whether they're a year old or 100 years old. But I understand what you're saying. Dow and Johnson & Johnson, are big enough, strong enough, safe enough to come back from that, where a small company is out of business and you lose it all. So I'm just saying it's not fail-safe, but it is a very good idea. But I would continue to look at that periodically. Don't just leave your good till your orders good till cancel, as in forever. Have them peel off once in a while, so you have to make a fresh look and a new decision.
Well, you know, one case that's really weird to me, I mean, you know, you take General Motors, okay? They had to take a loan. I mean, all sorts of bad things were happening.
Yep.
They had this ignition key problem.
Yep.
And I'll be damned if the stock didn't go up.
Yep. Yep.
You know?
I know. And now it's been really terrible lately. So, yeah, I mean, it's been terrible. Now we finally, believe it or not, they've been announcing bad news, and it finally got low enough. It doesn't make any difference now.
Anyway, Dave, tell me if in your office you've got a pool and people are gambling on how long the rise is going to go, how high it'll get, and then how far the crash will be.
We do not have that pool.
When reality comes to, you know, when reality strikes.
Reality is that markets go higher over time as human beings progress.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what Trump actually does and when this all comes out in the wash, so to speak.
Absolutely. Markets are getting ahead of themselves. He's not even president yet. But this is what the market's saying, is that 6 months from now, a year from now, things are going to be vastly better, vastly different, and the economy will be growing better. That's what the markets are saying.
Let's hope it's true, but still, there needs to be something about the ecology, you know? I mean, corporations that run wild are kind of like the id without the ego, you know? It's kind of like if anybody could do anything they wanted to do, chances are it wouldn't be totally good, you know?
No, I think that, look, we've gotten to the point with the EPA and et cetera, where it's gotten to be so boneheaded that when it rains heavily, they now and a farmer's land floods, that's now under EPA's waterways rules. These things have got to be stopped. Nobody can comply. There's so many rules. But I don't think there's anybody out there that says, you know, I think what we ought to do is go back to the old days, put the factories near the rivers and just let them dump. Nobody's saying that. Nobody's going to do that. That's a bunch of people that, you know, crawl in the corner and cry because Donald Trump is president. I mean, it's just hyperbole that is nonsensical. There's nobody out there that's saying, I know what we should do. Let's make the world dirty and our air bad. Nobody's doing that. And it's not. And also, by the way, it's not because we make rules. It's because of technology. We can get everything is more productive. We go further on a gallon of gas, not because of rules. We go further on a gallon of gas because the cars are so efficient. That's why. And that's technology. And the airplanes go further on the same amount of jet fuel. That's because of technology.
You know, with all the technology in cars, I'll give you two items that I think are actually worthwhile. When I leave my lights on and I get out of the car, it beeps.
Yep.
And I leave the key in the ignition and it beeps. Those are about the only two
seat warmers. Seat warmers.
I don't want a cold ass.
I don't either. I'm telling you, it's not a good thing.
A seat warmer. That, you know, that's a perfect example of we've gone too far.
Yeah, it is not. That's just the beginning. I can't wait till the steering wheel's warm.
I don't even have a heated toilet seat.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, take care.
All right, Jim. You have a good one.
Take care. Bye bye.
Bye bye. And we got to take a quick break here for Fox News. Our board is clear. 580-KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave has taken calls right.
Confessed to the shootings. Fox News. We report. You decide.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's talk station. 580-KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-KIDO is our number. We're going to bounce over here to the to Albertson Stadium here after the show for Seven Cares. I hope you're bouncing around your communities. I think there's probably about 10 different places from Twin Falls to the Oregon border that you can drop off food, checks, and enjoy this Seven Cares day. It's an amazing thing to watch the community rally around this, and it just grows every year. It's such a great, great thing. So thank you to all who have participated and all those companies out there that have as well. And I again, thank you to our clients as well who helped fill up our truck out front at Hillcrest last night, as well as so many thousands of dollars, literally, that have been brought by people. So in checks as well. We'll get those presented today, right after, whenever they can work us in sometime down there. All right. Right now, I want to go to email. And by the way, our email address here, dave@petsofinancial.net. Okay? All right, so let's go with Vern. Vern, Dave, what with the market at all-time highs, is it time to harvest gains and consider redistribution of a portfolio? How does an average investor evaluate one's holdings to do this? What a great question. And this actually brings me to a bigger discussion about what very possibly could happen the first part of January. We talk about the January effect, where stocks that are beaten down and losers that people sell off at the end of the year, and therefore those stocks tend to rise in January. I also think some people are probably holding back a little bit in their purchases, right? They're holding back just a little bit. I'm sorry, in their sales, to push off the capital gains. Are we really going to get lower taxes, et cetera? Now, I don't think it's a huge phenomenon that you're like, oh, wow, I better sell short in January. I don't think that's the case. But I think that you're going to see some people hold off. So, Vern, to your question, what do you do? At this point, you have to be careful of making changes and shifts in your portfolio. You don't want to pay taxes at the very end of the year if you can put it off, number one. Number two, this goes back to the question we had before, all the way back at the beginning, and frankly what I talk about all the time, is don't try to guess the market. You don't want to do that. You don't need to do that. You shouldn't do that. We have to be very careful whenever we make portfolio changes. So let me borrow from, if you will, you'll let me, borrow from John Templeton, who said anytime we change, meaning we want to buy company A over company B, okay, we feel great about company A, and company B has done great. It's gone up, and we're, you know, it's done well. So we're thinking of selling company B and going to company A because we have to be right twice. He says, I want a 50% cushion so that all the times we're wrong, we make it more than make up for it. He wants to think that he has a 50% better bargain than the stock he has. Now, that's a high bar, which has also led him to have a remarkable track record, of course, and believe it or not, a 20% turnover ratio on the 30 years that he ran a mutual fund, the incredibly successful Templeton Growth Fund. That, by the way, a 20% turnover rate, that means he held each stock in the portfolio on average 5 years. Way different than people think today. By the way, his performance was so good, it's also way different than people perform today. Okay? But, Vern, again, is it time? It's always time to be considering rebalancing. I like the idea, if you're not really into doing a lot with a portfolio, is to set it up on automatic rebalance. Sometime, make it your birthday. Can be January. It's just up to you. Where it rebalances into the allocation you want, and it will automatically then be selling what's high. Not necessarily it's going to go higher, but rebalancing by selling off a little bit of what's high and buying what's low automatically. Not really doing careful evaluation, just automatically doing it. It works very well. Now, I prefer what's called smart rebalance, and that's where you go in and you say, unless it changes dramatically or our view changes dramatically, big, broad view, like, I just can't believe that, you know, REITs are this low, or I can't believe emerging markets are this low. I think I want to allocate another couple of percent to that. Again, not an all or nothing, but a little bit more of an over or under allocation depending on valuation. Smart rebalancing is when something really runs up high and now it's gone through the bands. Let's say you want, hey, if I'm 10% out of the range I want to be, like normally I should have 20%, and now it's like at 23% of the portfolio, then I'll sell it back. But I'm not going to sell it because it's at 20.5. Let it run. So smart rebalance is the way I'd prefer to do that. But how do you evaluate which ones? Boy, I would say you toss out the losers and you be careful on capital gains. And if you're talking about an IRA portfolio, then it's a simple rebalance. Where do you think that money is going to be treated the best, or where the bargains, if you will, are? Now, two different things there in a sense. Treated best is thinking very far forward. Most people don't. So be careful with that when we say, well, I think that the Donald Trump stocks are going to do the best. They already have. There are no bargains in that space. Don't kid yourself. You're buying high, hoping it'll go higher. That's not really been a good strategy, by the way. I understand people doing it, but be very, very careful there. Vern, thank you very much. And anytime you have questions, it's dave@petzofinancial.com. That's during the week. Here, it's dave@petzofinancial.net, okay? All right. We've got to take a quick break, our final break this hour. And when we come back, I hope to have you on the line at 580-KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 5.
Canyon County Kids Expo today. Call 275-8131. That's 275-8131.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Final segment upcoming here, but we have plenty of time, so please give us a call, 580-KIDO. Love to visit with you. And for me, it's going to be a couple weeks till I'm back, because guess who's in next week? That's right. Tom Brown, Jennifer Stone are going to be in and continuing their, if you will, the saga, the life story of the Savers and the Spenders. And they do a great job, as you well know. But also, you want to tune in for this. It's life. It's life as it happens, not as we wish it happens. Because that's life, isn't it? It doesn't always happen. In fact, it rarely happens the way we want to. It's just not what happens. Nobody plans to get divorced. Nobody plans on somebody getting unhealthy. Nobody plans to slip and fall. I fell on the ice last night. I'm sore today, actually, from that. Thank goodness I'm such a young, you know, man that I just bounced. Ouch. I didn't bounce at all, and I'm not that young. So it is. It's one of those things where you just realize how quickly, and as we age, what happens, right? What happens in a flash? And if somebody older had fallen, they very well, like I did, very likely could have not gotten up. And it happens. So these things change lives in a flash. And we know it doesn't always work that way. It doesn't. So if we don't plan, we don't address these issues of making sure we have a cushion in life, then when life happens, it's not odd. It's not odd. That's my point. This is what life is. It's a certainty that there are job uncertainties. It is a certainty that things will happen in your life that cost money. It's a certainty that things won't work the way you think they will work. And so we have to prepare for that. And when we don't, that's where we run into so much trouble. So much trouble. So anyway, Jennifer and Tom will be in next week for me, and I will be off visiting my grandbaby, which is kind of a wonderful thing. I love this, okay? So I just got to tell you one other quick story, and then I'm going to grab this email, okay? This quick story. So my grandbaby, I got to get this text and this picture yesterday because it snowed in Seattle. They live in Seattle. And she's at the window. Oh, wow. Snow. And you think about that. Wow. Isn't that great? I mean, isn't that the wonder, right, of a child? Everything is fresh and new and wonderful. Because, yeah, life is unexpected. Life can be terrible and mean. It's also amazingly beautiful. And sometimes seeing that through the eyes of a child is how we get that, isn't it? All right, let's go ahead and go here to an email. Dave, I see UL, Universal Life, is selling below what it did
Oh, no, United Airlines. It did 4 years ago. Do you think it is because of the strong dollar versus the British pound? I know all these emerging markets are not going to stop using soap, et cetera. Oh, Unilever. Sorry. Okay, so we're talking about Unilever. That absolutely great point, and you're right. They're not going to stop that, but you're right. It is in the currency of the British pound, sterling. And so we end up with a circumstance where you have to translate back into it. So, yes, that's part of it, number one. Number two, nobody likes what's going on in European stocks. I mean, they just don't. I mean, the European stocks haven't done well. It's been a terrible – everything foreign, you look at the last 5 years, is barely up. And so when we look at stocks like Unilever that do compete directly, I mean, Procter & Gamble and Unilever are the two, right? They just kept war each other everywhere in the world. And both are great companies. Both pay great and growing dividend streams. What I would do is focus on the fact that you can still buy in a company that's grown. And I'm making an assumption here. I don't follow Unilever. I'm making the assumption that their sales and profits have grown over the past 4 years. If I'm wrong, don't touch it till you know what's going on. Doesn't mean you can never touch it, but you've got to know what's going on. So the answer is yes. You nailed it. Is the British pound is one of the main reasons because people have run away from that. Okay? And you're right. You're going to keep using soap and all the other products in the emerging markets, which are growing markets. So yes, buy on bad news always, especially when you're buying into growing markets.